All right. Welcome, my friends, to another episode of Extreme Health Radio. We are only a half an hour late. I apologize for that, my friends. It seems like lately we've had some incredible tech issues with vMix, and now we're going to do it today through Skype. So I apologize for the delay, guys, but we did the best we could, and we got Morley Robbins on the show. This is going to be really cool because we're going to talk about anemia. And does it even really exist? Or I should say iron deficiency anemia, does that even really exist? So we're going to talk about that. So if you have any friends that are currently dealing with what they think is anemia, pass this show. This show is going to be a really cool show to pass on to them. So let them know about the work of Morley Robbins. And I got a couple of things I want to show you at the introduction to this and doing a little bit of research. I thought it was really funny. So this is episode 678, and we do shows live every Friday morning. We shoot for 10:45, but sometimes things like this happen and we're a little bit late. So at 10:45 is when we shoot to go live every Friday morning. This is episode 678. So what I will do is I'll put the links to Morley's websites. If we talk about any books, the products that we mentioned on today's show, anything like that, I'll put at extremehealthradio.com/678. Okay, so is there anything else to get to? I don't think so. We've got some good shows coming up. Let me tell you about those if you guys are interested and want to subscribe to our podcast. We have Koss next week. We're going to talk with him about essential oils and cancer. We're going to talk with Adam Bergstrom the week after that, Dr. Stephen Hines. The week after that, he's doing some great work in Texas, South Texas, helping people recover from chronic diseases. Dr. Michelle Lamasa-Schrader, we're going to talk with her about recall healing coming up, which is the spiritual emotional connection to all disease. So that'll be really cool. And so if you're listening or watching on whatever platform we're on, make sure to subscribe. And if you can, leave us a rating and review. That would be really, really cool. All right. So I think that's all the sort of housework to get out of the way. If you guys are not familiar with Morley Robbins, he received his BA in biology from Denison University in Ohio. He's the creator of the Root Cause Protocol, and he's also known as the Magnesium Man, but you know, he's also known as Iron Man too. So he's one of the foremost experts on magnesium's role in the body. And like I was telling our Academy members this morning, I think Morley Robbins is probably, in my opinion, in the top three or four like most important luminaries in the natural health field. And in the natural health world, there is definitely a mainstream. So Morley is not mainstream alternative health. He's definitely found a niche talking about minerals. And this is, I think, his eighth session with us. So let me bring up Skype and bring Morley on the show. All right. Morley, how are you doing, my friend?
Doing great. Doing great. Happy to be here. Happy we got connected.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was doing a little bit of research before the show. Well, a couple days ago, I was reading the articles that you sent me on copper, which we'll talk about. I grabbed some good pieces out of that. But I was going to share this in the intro. Let me bring this up because I find it really interesting in our talk today about anemia. And this one is from our good friends over at the World Health Organization. We love them, don't we?
I can't wait.
The most common causes of anemia include nutritional deficiency, particularly iron deficiency, though deficiencies in folate and B12 are also important causes. Infectious diseases such as malaria, tuberculosis, HIV, and parasitic infections. But Morley, didn't you know that we're going to be that iron deficiency is the cause of anemia? There's no need to do any more research, is there?
Let's just, you know, extend our salutations and just move on, right?
But what's cool is that you just look into this for, you know, you've been looking into this for, gosh, forever, huh?
Probably for about 5 or 6 years now.
Mm-hmm. And
it's the thing is, you have to look at it from a different perspective. So when I read that, and I have read that, what you just posted, I went, gee, the greatest nutrient deficiency on the planet. So I thought, well, let's take a look, because of my mineral focus. I thought, let's see what the minerals are that are highest concentration on the planet. Mm-hmm. Who's number one? It's iron.
Iron.
36% of the Earth's composition is iron. Now, the last time I checked, humans are the most evolved species. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Well, there's rumors
to argue that. We could probably argue that for a couple hours, just that topic alone. But let's accept that we are the most evolved species. So then the most evolved species has lost the natural ability to metabolize the number one element on the planet? Doesn't make sense. Absolutely doesn't make sense. And then if you put on your tin hat and you realize that everything is backwards, then it really changes your whole worldview.
Mm-hmm. So let me just break this down a little bit for folks. And doing some research on anemia, it says here, let me bring this up, iron deficiency anemia is basically what we're going to be talking about today, but it's more than 3 million cases per year of people that are sort of diagnosed with this. And it says here, it's just, it results from a lack of, this is from Mayo Clinic, it results from a lack of red blood cells or dysfunctional red blood cells in the body. And this leads to reduced oxygen flow to the body's organs. And symptoms include pale skin color, shortness of breath, lightheadedness, or a fast heartbeat. But what I thought was really interesting, it says that it requires a medical diagnosis and it's treatable only by a medical professional.
Right.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, right. So I had an opportunity this summer in July to share my thoughts with Amish farmers, end of July. Uh-huh. And I thought, what am I going to say to really reach that unique audience? Mm-hmm. And so I turned my presentation, which can be fairly robust and technical, I turned it into horses and buggies. Mm-hmm. And they loved it. And when I got to the section about anemia, because it's a big issue in that community as well, I asked them, I said, let's make sure we understand one another. So the whole problem with this alleged anemia of iron deficiency is there's a difference between measuring iron in the blood and measuring iron in the tissue. And they're not one and the same. Mm-hmm. They're not even close to being the same. In fact, Bruce Ames, who's at the peak of his career, was the most quoted scientist on planet Earth. He was a tenured professor at UC Berkeley for decades. Mm-hmm. And he's still alive, still publishing, very talented individual. Mm-hmm. And he published an article with his colleague, David Kalilia, in 2004, and revealed that, in fact, iron in the tissue can be 10 times iron in the blood. And so when I was chatting with these Amish farmers, I said, let's assume that what you're trying to do is measure the number of bales of hay in your barn, mm-hmm. but you go out into the field and start counting out there. I said, does that make any sense at all?
No.
And they looked at me and they went, no, that doesn't make any sense at all. I said, well, that's what your doctor is doing.
Hmm. Okay.
Your doctor is measuring the iron status in only one setting, the barn.
In the barn.
He's ignoring the field.
So Morley, should there be any iron in your tissues at all in an ideal world?
Oh, of course there needs to be iron in the tissues because, Okay. Again, let's talk some real numbers here. 70% of the iron in the human body is bound up in hemoglobin. So that's a big bolus of iron.
Okay, right.
There's another 10% that's bound up in what's called myoglobin, which is a protein that carries oxygen or stores oxygen for the muscles. And less than 10% is supposed to be bound up in ferritin, which is a storage protein that's found inside the cells. It's not supposed to be in your blood.
Okay.
But when it shows up in the blood, then you have liver pathology. And about 4% is tied up in what's called serum iron.
Okay.
That's the part of the iron that gets recycled every 24 hours. And then the rest, the little tiny bit that's left over, is in proteins and enzymes throughout the body, largely inside the cells. So yeah, you do need this iron inside the tissue. There are what are called iron sulfur clusters, are pervasive throughout the mitochondria. Mm-hmm. The different mitochondrial complexes mm-hmm. are based on iron sulfur clusters. And so, and there are other enzymes. Obviously, the liver has a lot of enzymes in it.
Uh-huh.
And so there's iron involved in that. But the vast majority of the iron is in the blood, and that's the way Mother Nature designed it. And when the iron shows low in the blood, hemoglobin is low, or the serum iron is low, uh-huh. or the ferritin looks really suspiciously low.
Mm-hmm.
What the doctor should be asking is, why is it stuck in the tissue? And what all earthlings have been trained to think now, because of the World Health Organization and the agencies that preceded it,
mm-hmm.
the League of Nations before it, we've all been trained to think of, if the numbers are low, that means we have low iron. Well, that's the most regressive and grade school focused interpretation of the problem. We're talking about one of the most sophisticated parts of our physiology is the management of iron. It's incredibly sophisticated. And to always default to we need more iron is really kind of, I guess the right word would be allopathetic.
Yeah, it's amazing. I see online the people, you know, different people and companies actually recommending iron supplements. And I just think, oh my gosh, like here we are trying to do everything we can through these methods of blood draw and things. And here they are ingesting more iron. And I can't imagine what that's doing to an already iron overloaded body, you know?
Exactly. So we all drive cars and we're mindful of the gas gauge, the fuel gauge, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when it gets low, we add more gas. But when we're starting to measure miles per gallon, do we add more gas to the car?
Mm-mm.
No. Because you could fill the car up with gas, and that's not going to improve the miles per gallon. Mm-hmm. It could be a function of the car tire pressure. It could be a function of the carburetor not working right. The spark plugs aren't working right. There are probably 25 different things that could be wrong. And so what doctors are doing is just assuming that, well, the hemoglobin's down, and so it must be that we need more gas. Get some more iron. It's like, come on. It's way more sophisticated than that. I think what you got a kick out of in that one article that I sent you from 1935 is that they knew back in 1935 that the process of making heme, which is critical for making new hemoglobin, which uh-huh. is critical for making new red blood cells, it's copper dependent. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, and no one, well, I think it's just, you know, the mainstream media or the mainstream medical association, like they just don't really, you know, get into that much detail, right? It's just simple blood tests, you're low, so you must need more, right?
You're absolutely right. They don't get into too much detail. They don't get into the physiology of how blood is made. And I was doing a presentation yesterday in our master class, and I had a publication from that 1935, 1948, 1960s, mm-hmm. 1978, 1995, 2000, 2005, and 2014, all saying the same thing.
Wow.
Copper, 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 copper is always the problem when there's low iron. And the intelligentsia seem to understand this, but it's not taught in medical school.
Mm-hmm. Well, Morley, most of us are copper toxic. So why would you want to take more copper?
I've heard that, right? Exactly. So, yeah. So the thing is, people should really begin to question the narrative. And that is a narrative. You're anemic and you're copper toxic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. What came to me about a week ago is I was doing some arithmetic, and I knew that the book 1984 mm-hmm. was published in 1948. So what's the difference between 1980 and 1948? It's 36 years.
Okay.
Get out your calculator.
Okay.
And add 36 to 1984. 36. Guess where we are?
Wow.
We're there.
What made you do that? That research? Look at that.
I don't know. I just was tumbling around numbers, and I went, "Oh my God, that's what this whole thing is." Wow. And when you think about what's happening with social media right now, that's Big Brother. That's total Big Brother.
Oh yeah.
And what was that book all about? Black is white, white is black, and citizens become enemies of the state.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now we got to be careful. I don't want to lose this conversation, but I just want the listeners to know that all is not as it seems.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what's interesting about this whole dynamic is most people think, oh, I'm anemic, and they just sort of accept that diagnosis and they sort of take that on and say that's what they are for life and these types of things, not realizing that you could really get to the bottom of this through natural methods, or understanding the physiology of why you have a lack of red blood cells or why those red blood cells aren't working properly. But to get into the copper piece, I think is huge. And that's what you sent me, is that whole article. It's like a 27-page document that I almost made it through. And I have some key points to this. I dug out a few points, but let's talk about copper and its role in blood formation.
How much time do we have?
5 hours, I wish.
Yeah, I'll blow off your anniversary lunch. Those are so overrated. There'll be another anniversary next year.
There's one every year. It's no big deal.
Oh my God. So we live on a planet with oxygen. We've talked about it. And so copper has a unique role. It is the only element on planet Earth that can activate oxygen to enable energy production. It can activate enzymes that are called oxidase enzymes, which means you're adding oxygen to a substrate.
Okay.
It's a big deal. Without any static, copper makes that happen. And then we have the fact that, you know, mistakes do happen. When there's a mistake with oxygen, it's called an oxidant. Mm-hmm. It's an accident with oxygen. And we have what are called antioxidant enzymes. And they're all powered with the energy of copper. So superoxide dismutase, catalase, glutathione peroxidase, paraoxidase, and we can go on. But all of these are blockbuster enzymes designed to eliminate the oxidants that naturally occur in our body.
The oxidation.
And this, the oxidation. And this goes back, it's just a modest 2.4 billion years ago when this started, because that's when oxygen really took hold in the atmosphere of Earth at that time. And it's called the Great Oxygen Event. And when you use that as a frame of reference, your understanding of physiology completely changes. Because then you understand that copper is here for a reason. It's absolutely essential, but it works through enzymes. It's very critically linked, and it's essentially complexed in these enzymes, the most significant of which is called ceruloplasmin. It was identified and discovered in 1948. And Big Pharma has been vilifying it ever since. Isn't it interesting that the year that ceruloplasmin was discovered is the year they wrote that book? Isn't that fun? You ever thought about that?
Oh, is that right?
Same year.
Interesting. Okay.
And so what is lost on most earthlings, and certainly the doctors that they go to, is that copper is absolutely essential to our physiology. It will not work without copper. And in the same way that our computers will not work without silver, the motherboard is filled with silver, right? Well, you take copper out of the human being and it starts to fall apart. And that's exactly what's happening to humanity right now. They just don't realize it.
So when I look at copper, and you talk about the ceruloplasmin protein, so that you said a second ago that they've been vilifying that. Now, it's my understanding that ceruloplasmin can be created by the liver, but it could also be created in different parts of the body too, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay, so what copper does, when people say, oh, I'm copper toxic, they're looking at copper, but they're not looking at it when it's loaded into that protein, right? Like if you kind of like same analogy that you used before, if you're sitting at a bus stop, for example, and you need to get on the bus to go to work, if you don't get on the bus, then you can't show up to work and do your job, right?
Exactly. Right.
Or if you get on the bus and you get into a car crash and something causes the bus to explode and all the people that are, in this example, copper, fall out, they still can't do their job. And now they're blocking traffic and everything else, right? So
it
really needs to be loaded into that ceruloplasmin, right?
Exactly. And so the phrase that took hold in the 60s was unbound copper. And what Carl Pfeiffer forgot to do, wink, wink, was complete the sentence. The copper is unbound from ceruloplasmin. That's okay. What unbound copper is referring to.
Okay.
And when copper comes out of its enzymes, can it be reactive? Of course it can. But what's completely unknown is that for every atom of copper, there's 60 atoms of iron in the human body. And so think of copper as a Navy SEAL surrounded by 60 ninja warriors.
Interesting. Okay.
Okay. And so what people should marvel at is the ability of copper to manage all that iron.
That's crazy how it can do that, right? Being so outnumbered.
Yeah. And so in ceruloplasmin, there's supposed to be eight copper atoms inside that molecule.
Uh-huh.
It's one of the largest molecules in the human body. And so that one molecule of ceruloplasmin is managing 480 atoms of iron.
Oh, because it's 60 times 8? Right, okay.
So that's an interesting, that's a 1 to 500 ratio.
My goodness.
And so the power of this mineral is mind-boggling. And I've got 15 different articles from 1948 to 2015 that clearly point out that ascorbic acid causes ceruloplasmin to break apart and lose the coppers. Mm-hmm. I've got articles from the 1960s through the 1980s that clearly indicate that birth control pills were causing ceruloplasmin to blow up and release the copper. I've got a score of articles that talk about how antibiotics cause unbound copper. And I could go on. If we had 5 hours, I could just keep naming different particles in our diet and in our environment that cause this molecule, this critical ceruloplasmin molecule, to break apart. And they've been working methodically to try to lower its expression.
So it's so fascinating. So what I want to know is this ceruloplasmin protein that you're talking about that harnesses the copper so that it can do its job throughout the body.
Right.
My question is, I wonder if it's also doing other things that you're not talking about, or maybe we don't even know about yet, that it's also needed for that are just as important that we just don't know yet.
Well, I've identified 24 different enzyme functions from this one protein.
24.
24. So
wow.
Do you need roller skates? Yeah, I can do that. You need a skateboard? You'd rather skateboard? Okay, I can do that. Oh, you want a tricycle? I can do tricycle. Oh, you want a bike? Oh, all right. You want to motorize it? Oh, yeah. Oh, you want a motorcycle? Okay, I can do the motorcycle.
Wow.
Oh, you want a car? Yeah, I can do a car. You want a sports car? Yeah, do that. Oh, you'd rather have a boat? Yeah, I can do boat. Oh, you want a plane? Well, we can do plane. Oh, you'd rather have a rocket? I can do rocket too.
Wow.
And it goes on and on and on. And it drives big pharma crazy. Why? Because big pharma is based on one gene
Yeah.
one function, that's it. Don't
Okay.
you start talking about the fact that one protein can do multiple functions. That blows our model
That's
apart.
too much. Do we know if, so when, let's say, like birth control you mentioned, or let's say silver, you talk about that as well, ascorbic acid, these things cause the ceruloplasmin to break apart and for copper to become unbound from ceruloplasmin. Do
And
we
therefore,
know if
unused.
it do we know if that ceruloplasmin, now that it leaked out copper, is it still able to do those other 23 functions, or is it just dead altogether?
Again, your bus analogy is a great one. So it's a let's say we're driving a VW minibus. We got and we got eight people inside it. And we have a car accident, and all eight people come out.
Okay.
What do you do with a car? Can't drive it. It
Oh
just
my
sits there.
gosh.
The car can't drive itself, can it?
Well, nowadays I'm sure they're going to make
No, that's right. Bad analogy, right? Yeah.
that
What was I thinking?
change.
Of
But that's
course.
interesting. So not only does it leak out copper, but it also causes it to not work for those other 23 functions as well. So that's really fascinating.
You think that's an accident?
So I wonder if it is. So what happens in the body? Where does all this dead ceruloplasmin or inactive ceruloplasmin go?
It
Do we
gets
know?
degraded in the liver, and then eventually it'll work its way into either your feces or your urine.
Wow, that's amazing.
So here's the interesting thing. This is fascinating. And this was some research that Jamie Collins at the University of Florida in Gainesville did. Again, we have fully loaded ceruloplasmin, unloaded ceruloplasmin, right? So fully loaded ceruloplasmin lasts about 6 days. Unloaded ceruloplasmin, 6 hours.
What does that mean? Like not fully loaded with copper or with no
Yeah,
copper?
it means no. Well, it's an all or nothing function.
Oh, I
It
see.
isn't like, oh, well, oops, one copper came out. We'll just go back and get that. No,
Okay.
as soon as it loses its structural conformation, it's like, all the
Whoa.
copper comes out.
So, do we know if other substances besides copper go into ceruloplasmin?
Well, there are 1,066 amino acids,
Okay.
so it's a fairly robust molecule
That's amazing.
that our body and our like you said, the liver, and there are many other tissues that make it. What should fascinate the listeners, especially of the female persuasion, especially if they're thinking of having children. See, you guys don't need to worry about this because you've got twins, right?
We're done,
You're done. Okay.
yeah. Yeah.
So, but there are three proteins expressed in the pregnant woman's body that all have what's called ferrooxidase enzyme function.
Okay.
And what that means is it's able to work with iron and to prevent it from kissing iron to create chaos. And so there is ceruloplasmin, there is Hephaestion, like the act or the in the mythology of the forge, there was a individual called Hephaestus, but this is called Hephaestion. And then there's third is called Zyklopin, as like Cyclops, who's also in that same myth. So we've got three different proteins. They're all expressing this ferrooxidase enzyme, and they're managing the regulation of copper and iron in the womb, in the placenta, and in the baby to manage the flow of metals between mom and baby.
Wow.
And so what I find utterly fascinating is the fact that no birthing practitioner even knows what I'm talking about right now. They don't measure those three proteins. And what do nursing or what do birthing practitioners fixate on? IM status, vitamin D status. Mm-hmm. That's what they're most concerned about. They don't even think about the fact that retinol, which is essential for loading those three proteins, is also essential for ensuring optimal brain function for the fetus.
No talk of that at all. So do we know if retinol, which is true vitamin A, it's not beta carotene from carrots. This is like true vitamin A, retinol from animal fats. Do we know if that is the only substance that loads copper into ceruloplasmin, or are there other substances that can help with that as well?
It's the only one that I've been able to identify. And it's interesting. Barber and Cousins, 1987. They were noted researchers back in the day, and they identified it as, it's called 13-cis-retinoic acid, which is a hormone form of retinol.
Well, I'm just glad we're getting off the animal fats then. Then we'll be all, you know, a lot healthier. That makes sense.
Drives you crazy, doesn't it? Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. Yeah,
we gotta go green, don't we?
So the whole concept of your program is this harnessing of oxygen, being able to utilize oxygen properly. And there's the two phases to that, is to lower the amount of iron that's coming in, right? Activating that reticuloendothelial system to make iron every day, and then bringing up copper so that you could make more ceruloplasmin. So what I'm interested in is, like, how can we make more ceruloplasmin if we're bringing in more copper? Can we do that? Focus on that?
Yeah, that's the whole purpose of the RCP, of the root cause protocol.
So we can make more of that. And so it really gets down to liver health then too.
Well, it gets down to liver health, obviously, but it's also the brain has ceruloplasmin. There's 8 times more ceruloplasmin in the retina of the eye than in the brain. It's a big deal.
Really?
If the eye doesn't have ceruloplasmin, it doesn't work right.
So that's interesting. So we need to make, so by proper liver health, we can make more of the ceruloplasmin. So what happens if there's a lot of ceruloplasmin, but not enough copper to be loaded into it? Is that an issue?
Of course it is.
Okay.
If people don't have copper in their diet, again, when you go back in time with the research, they were recommending 3 to 5 milligrams of copper a day. You know what the RDA is today?
No, what is it?
0.9 milligrams.
0.9. And how far back was 3 to 5?
Back in the 30s, 20s and 30s.
What, do they have any justification for the change?
I've never
Do we want to get conspiracy theory?
Yeah. But I think people can connect the dots. Again, if we have copper, we're managing oxygen, and we're not throwing off oxidative stress. If we don't have copper, we're not managing oxygen, we're not creating energy, and we're throwing off tons of oxidative stress.
So how is this going back to anemia with the formation of healthy red blood cells?
It's absolutely fascinating. Again, the body is designed to, technically, we're supposed to get a download of iron from mom. Mm-hmm. And in the first, it varies from expert to expert, but the first 12 to 15 years of life, we're getting iron from our diet. And then really at that point, we're supposed to go on recycling only.
I mean,
it's just amazing how the body is designed to recycle iron.
So how come some people say that we need 1 milligram of iron per day then?
Well, again, just being on this planet, we're exposed to so much iron that we accumulate it. And what the experts like Robert Crichton and Gutteridge and Hallowell and Douglas Kell and people of that stature, this is at the top of the iron biology pecking order, they theorize that it's about 1 milligram of iron that we accumulate every day we're on the planet. So for those who are curious Georges and want to know what's going on, with their body, take your age, multiply it by 365, and you'll have an idea of how much iron you have. And it's going to be probably about 15 to 20,000 milligrams. And women should have 4,000 milligrams. And guys should have about 5,000 milligrams of iron in their body. And
wow,
the recycling system is run by copper, very clearly noted. And as you learn from reading that article, the whole process of making new blood, making new heme, making new hemoglobin is copper dependent. And so if you don't have, you got to have energy to make new blood. You've got to have iron sulfur clusters to make new blood. And you've got to have an antioxidant enzyme called catalase. If you don't have those three, you can't make new blood. Well, guess what? You got to have copper to do all three of those.
Now, we're with Morley Robbins. This is episode 678. And Morley, I'm going to ask you when we get back from the break. I have a couple different things I want to pull from that article that you sent me about copper, and we'll talk about some of that. But also, I'm curious if you worked with people in your root cause protocol with anemia, and I want to see if you've had any success stories and things like that.
Sure.
But if you guys are enjoying the show, please pass it on to your friends, and I'll put the links to everything at extremehealthradio.com/678. And we're going to be right back. We're going to take a little break and learn about colostrum, and we'll be right back right after this.
Forget superfoods. Colostrum is mammals' first food. Containing the essential building blocks for growth, gut integrity, and immune health. Often referred to as liquid gold, colostrum is known to balance immune function, support digestive health, and increase endurance and lean muscle mass. Colostrum's naturally balanced and living nutrition, which supplies growth and immune factors, is a delicious dose of restoration that's easy to use in powder or capsule form. Clean, conscientious, tested antibiotic-free, and produced in a U.S. GMP-certified facility, it's your first food for second chances.
Yeah, guys, I just absolutely love colostrum. It's such a great product. And by the way, too, there's a lot of sales going on right now with Black Friday and things like that. I wanted to let you know, too, that our saunas that we love so much, the Relax Far Infrared Saunas, are available right now with the coupon code. Let me get the coupon code for you. It is for, Black Friday. Black Friday 20 is the coupon code for our Relax Far Infrared Saunas. But let me bring up the colostrum so you guys can take a look at it. It's really a great product. I love it myself, and we use it in our coffee every day. We use it in our smoothies. Our kids love it. This is just great, great stuff. And if you want to support the show and support everything that we do here at Extreme Health Radio, make sure to go through our store, biochargeme.com. If you're looking for good products and great tools like the sauna, the rebounder, stuff like that, we'd greatly appreciate that. So also, I want to tell you, too, about our Bellicon rebounder, and that's this guy right here. This is a really great machine to help cleanse your lymphatic system, and I just love this Bellicon rebounder. And here is a buddy of ours, Jason Prohl, talking about jumping up and down on a rebounder. It's pretty cool.
And I will say that the rebounder, doing it outside, is the greatest thing you can do, because getting outside with the light, we actually know that light, particularly sunlight, is the most beneficial, actually charges the water and actually creates a motor-like effect. And this actually impacts the lymphatic system. So blood flow and lymphatic system will actually improve just by getting outside. Now when you rebound, you're actually increasing that further.
So since Jason was on the show a while back talking about his really cool documentary called The Human Longevity Project, I've been doing all of my rebounding outside, because why not, right? If you're gonna rebound, you might as well do it outside and get the beneficial effects of sunlight. And here's David Wolf talking about this Bellicon itself.
Absolutely. I was just with the crew in Europe that does the Bellicon Rebounder, which is an incredible rebounder. My God, what a machine. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't use metal springs. It uses like flexi ropes. So it's very soft and fun, and it's just great to play with.
That's David Wolf. That was actually from an interview we did with him in, I think, 2012, going all the way back. But yeah, so this is something that I do every single day, and it's really great for cleansing your lymphatic system, opening up those millions of one-way valves that you have. And you have more lymphatic fluid in your body than you do blood, which is really interesting. So it's really important to manually stimulate the lymph system of the body to stay healthy. And it's really a longevity exercise. And it's great for circulation. It's great for toning the body. It's great for increasing endorphins, and just a great, great tool, exercise modality to get into. So I highly recommend it. And the Bellicon's cool because, like he said, it's got these flexi ropes, which makes it silent, but it also has the legs that fold. So if you want to fold the legs up, store underneath your bed, it comes with, you can get accessories for it, like if you're worried about balance, or little bars you can buy if you're worried about balance. But I'd really recommend getting some of these tools and bringing them into your home and getting on a program where you do it 3-4 days a week and just starting that self-care practice. I really recommend that. So if you guys are interested in the Bellicon Rebounder or the Colostrum, both will be available at extremehealthradio.com/678, along with the show links to this show and Morley's websites, rcp123.org. Everything will be available at extremehealthradio.com/678. Hope you're enjoying the show. If you know of anybody that has anemia, please pass this on to them, because unlike it said on the Mayo Clinic, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to go to a medical doctor. You can start working and taking responsibility for your own health and start working on things like this yourself. So I'd really recommend getting into Morley's program. Great, great resource. And like I said before, he's one of the luminaries, I think, you know, one of the most important people in natural health today. So hope you're enjoying the show. We'll be right back with Morley. We'll talk about some of the things that he has had, some successes perhaps with anemia in his program, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Extreme Health Radio, and I hope you're enjoying this show. Please share it with your friends by tagging at Extreme Health Radio on Instagram. Stay tuned for new shows weekly.
So I was telling Morley before the show that it's going to be actually kind of fun to talk about something other than big C, little V, the elections, Joe Biden, Donald Trump. It'll be really interesting to talk about something other than all that kind of stuff right now. But unfortunately, what goes on a lot these days is this idea of censorship, and you know, entire channels are being taken down. And I don't know how long we're going to be on YouTube. So part of our diversification strategy is to get on to other avenues like BitChute, and there's a bunch of other ones as well. And I think that's going to be really important for not just the producers of content, but the consumers of content as well, to start going to these other platforms in order to support people out there doing good work. Because I can imagine a time when Morley's going to have the same issue we are, because you know, he's hitting on some fundamental ideas that are going to change the game in terms of natural health and natural healing. And so let me bring Morley back up on the show so that we can get him on. And so Morley, I saw that article that you sent to me, and we mentioned it. You said that was written in the 1930s?
1935. So let me give the listeners or the viewers kind of a upfront account of what the diversity or just the complexity of cerebral palsy.
Okay.
This was a birthday present from one of my students. Her husband's a very talented pastor. And make sure I get this right.
Oh, that's really cool.
And you can see it says ceruloplasmin, and then right below it, it says missing information equals missing truth.
Oh, no way.
And that's been a guiding phrase of mine ever since Joey shared that with me. It's the cornerstone of his course in logic that he teaches his parishioners. Wow. But I want you to get a sense of this was my birthday present from just this past week. And
that's so cool. So is that the actual, that's kind of like the shape of it, or is it?
Yeah, it's a representation of the complexity, and you can see the lights are the coppers.
Oh, I mean, I just think
it's just so cool the way they designed it.
That is
cool. Blew me away, but probably one of the nicest birthday presents I've ever got. I know I'm a total gearhead when I get excited about something like that.
Right.
But I think it's important for folks to understand that there's two classic descriptions of anemia. And as you pointed out in your intro, that it means low hemoglobin in the blood. It does not mean low ferritin. It does not mean low iron. It has always meant low hemoglobin.
Okay.
And what we've been trained, like circus bears, to believe is that when that hemoglobin number is low, well, that means there's no iron in the body.
Why do we believe that?
Because that's what we've been trained to believe.
Is there any reason for them to tell us that?
Well, if the goal is to try to put more iron in our body, which I believe it is.
Okay.
Because what does iron do? What does excess iron do in the human body? What does it do in any living life form?
Is
it accelerates
rust.
The aging? Well, yeah, it causes rust and it accelerates the aging process.
Interesting.
It's well established. And so it's a way to accelerate the aging process, increase the chances for accidents with oxygen, and the whole other paradigm is called anemia of chronic disease. It's also called anemia of chronic inflammation.
What do you mean in another whole paradigm?
Well, it's a completely different way of understanding why is the hemoglobin not presenting in the blood?
Okay.
Why is the hemoglobin not being produced by the body? And it turns out, we're probably going to have at least one other show just to talk about this, because it's going to get into a fairly big area. But there's a signaling molecule in our body called nitric oxide.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard of it, right? Again, we've been corralled into believing that it's only important for the blood vessels so that we can have erectile performance, right?
Right, right.
And we can lower our blood pressure. And that's all nitric oxide does, right? You know that, right?
Yeah, that's what they want you to think, right?
Okay. So what's the smallest hormone on planet Earth?
The smallest hormone? I don't know.
Nitric oxide.
Okay.
When I say hormone, I'm talking about a very powerful molecule.
Mm-hmm.
And you take one molecule of nitrogen and you put it together with one molecule of oxygen, boom, it becomes the most powerful hormone on the planet. So every hormone has a job. And nitric oxide's job is to activate our innate immune system.
Okay.
And so when we are having some kind of immune challenge, nitric oxide is supposed to come to the rescue. The vast majority of nitric oxide in our body is made by macrophages. And those are the Pac-Men that love to gobble up the pathogens.
Okay.
But they also gobble up dying red blood cells. And they express, they have a completely different enzyme function for spewing out nitric oxide. It's called inducible nitric oxide.
Mm-hmm.
Very important. It's incredibly important. And when the body senses that it's under attack, that there's some immune threat to its homeostasis, it instructs the macrophages to start releasing nitric oxide. And what Gunther Weiss wrote about in that other article that I sent you from 1999 was that nitric oxide's job is to shut down new blood production. It's to get iron out of the bloodstream, sequester it back into the tissue to keep it away from the pathogens.
Wait a second. Let me understand that. That's really important. So say that part again.
Again, as soon as the body senses there's a threat, it knows, again, we're going back 2.4 billion years of life forms. Uh-huh. And when it senses that things are not quite the way they're supposed to be, it says, I better keep iron away from the pathogens, because that's what they use to replicate, to grow, to thrive. All pathogens must have iron to run their replication machinery.
So let me make sure I understand this right. So when you say there's a threat, does that mean like a bacteria or some sort of invasion coming in the body, or an internal threat?
It could be both.
Okay.
But it's classically some pathogen. So bacteria, fungus, virus, or parasite.
Okay.
Or it can be inflammation. That is a perception that the oxygen is not being burned right. Mm-hmm. So you got a problem somewhere.
Right.
And once inflammation starts to rise, the body knows that there's a problem with oxygen. That's what inflammation is really about. So we've heard the term oxidative stress.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's three phases of it. We have hypoxia. Oxygen is not where it needs to be. It doesn't mean we think it only means low oxygen, where there's functional hypoxia when there isn't enough bioavailable copper. So we have hypoxia, then we move to inflammation, and then the next stage of oxidative stress is called cytotoxicity. That's a fancy term for cancer.
So this whole oxidative stress thing is really at the core of all disease then?
Absolutely is. Absolutely. And when the body senses that there is some threat, some inflammatory or some infection, it says, olly in free to the iron. And it does it through the macrophages. And it says, get that iron out of the bloodstream, because good bacteria live in the gut, bad bacteria live in the blood. And the body knows this.
So it's doing this through nitric oxide,
right? We have two different worlds. Anemia of iron deficiency, which is a myth.
Uh-huh.
And anemia of chronic inflammation, which is what really is going on. And what's the secret? Anemia of chronic inflammation is caused by a lack of bioavailable copper.
That is so fascinating. So the not the oxidative stress, but the iron in the blood is being sequestered to go back into the tissues through this nitrogen and oxygen, nitric oxide hormone. That's what's right. Trying to happen.
Exactly. And what it's doing is it's telling the transferrin receptors, get busy, get active, pull the iron out of the blood. It's telling the ferritin, we don't need to store this iron. It's just get it in the cell. We're not going to worry about it. And it's telling the ferroportin, which is the doorway to let iron out, stop doing that. We don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
And so iron is building in these cells, in the tissue. It's not in the blood. It's in the tissues. And that's what's not understood in conventional medicine. They don't understand the response that the body takes to a threat. So then we begin to say, well, what's the stimulus for all this chaos?
Mm-hmm.
Iron supplements, iron fortification, always adding iron when there's a misperception of why the physiology might be out of balance.
And drinking well water, right? That has iron in it.
Drinking well water, absolutely. And restricting access to copper. As soon as copper is not at adequate levels in an animal's diet, whether we're talking about mice all the way up to elephants and humans galore, iron accumulates in the liver. Nothing good comes from iron accumulating in the liver. There will always be oxidative stress when that happens. And so the iron is getting stuck in the liver. Iron is not being mobilized the way it's supposed to be. It's not being recycled in that reticular endothelial system that you talked about. Mm-hmm. And all of that is because there's a lack of bioavailable copper, and the body knows it and says, sequester the iron. We can't afford to let it into the blood. And that's the wisdom of our innate immune system, knowing there's something wrong with the copper, because copper is supposed to be helping us activate the oxygen. Copper is supposed to be creating these oxidase enzymes. Copper is supposed to be deactivating the oxidants. The body has a wisdom about it.
It's amazing, like you said, how powerful copper is. If one atom of copper is able to manage or, say, regulate 60 atoms of iron, it's a 60-to-1 ratio, like you said at the beginning. It's just amazing how powerful copper must be. And what's interesting with that is it must mean that you must not need that much. I mean, you do need it, but it's like small amounts really make a big difference, right?
Right. And so let's use the analogy of a fever and our body temperature.
Okay.
So ideal body temperature is 98.6 or 37 degrees if you happen to live anywhere outside of the United States.
Right.
So 4% differential is called a fever. Mm-hmm. So when you go from 98 to 102, that's a 4% differential.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how bad you feel when you have a fever.
Right.
Now let's apply that 4% to the 90 milligrams of copper that we're supposed to have in our body. Let's say we have a 4% loss.
Okay.
All we got to do is go down to 87.5 milligrams of copper. And we got a fever on our hands. We're not talking about taking it down to zero.
Mm-hmm. Just 4%.
Just got to take it down 4%. And suddenly you change the whole physiology of the body.
So where did you get the number 90 milligrams?
Many, many authors. So numbers you'll see will fluctuate from between 70 to 110.
Okay.
But there seems to be a convergence around 90.
Now, when you say 90, do you mean 90 in terms of consumption a day, or just at any given time there should be 90?
Any given time, there's 90 in our body.
Okay.
The biggest bolus is in the liver. A comparable amount is in our brain. And then the rest gets distributed throughout the body. It's hard to even fathom how important copper is. Mm-hmm. And we're so dependent on mitochondria to make energy. And no one ever told us that there's a matrix inside the center of the mitochondria. And that matrix, it's called the matrix pool, was actually called the matrix copper pool.
Mm-hmm.
There's 50,000 atoms of copper in every mitochondria. And you multiply that times 40 quadrillion.
Oh my gosh, it just goes mitochondria. Crazy. Yeah.
It's just, so we're getting back into some really big numbers that are very, they're not openly understood or discussed in conventional healing circles.
So people are going to ask, obviously, can I supplement with copper and or what are the high copper foods? And we'll get to that in a second. But I want to ask you, like we talked about before, the retinol and the true vitamin A, how much retinol do we need in order to make sure that 90 milligrams of copper is active and functional and loaded into ceruloplasmin? How much do we need to eat a day, do you think, of vitamin A?
Probably about 3,000 IUs will do it. I mean, there are people who get more than that. If you study the research of Weston A. Price, it was a multiple of that they were having in their average daily diet.
How do I know what that is if I eat like a couple eggs and I eat beef tallow, I cook in beef tallow, I eat, you know, all kinds of animal fats? I wonder how you calculate that.
You can use the nutrient tables to begin to accumulate what's the amount.
Okay.
What we're going to bump up against is the fact that the nutrient tables, they look really cool on your phone or your computer, a lot of eye candy, but they haven't been updated since the 1950s.
Why would we want to update them?
Do you think the soil might have changed in the last 60, 70 years?
Just the 80% loss of copper in the soils too, right? Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So if I'm going to be talking to a group of cattle farmers this coming Monday night. I have a 15-minute window to explain to them how important copper is. Now, the beauty of this group of farmers is they do needle biopsies of their cattle once a year to see what their status is from a mineral standpoint.
Where do they needle biopsy?
Right into the liver.
Really?
Ouch. You first.
Yeah.
it's I'm sure it's painful, but they want to know what's the mineral status of our cattle. God bless them for that.
Yeah, that's great.
And what do you think is the consistent mineral that's deficient in every cow?
Well, are they eating grass or what are they eating?
They're eating grass.
They're eating grass? I would have to say copper.
That's exactly right.
And so, even though they're eating grass.
Again, we are what we eat, and can assimilate. And so if the copper is not in the soil, it doesn't get into the vitamin C in the grass, which means it doesn't get into the cow of the cattle, which means it doesn't get into the liver. And what these farmers want to hear is, why is this so important?
Wow. That's interesting. So, they reached out to you to find that out.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe I'll just send them this conversation.
Oh my gosh.
Take a little more than 15 minutes, but the point is, at least they want to know, at least they want to learn more. At least they're committed to creating healthy cows and cattle. I don't know what the difference between a cow and a cattle is. Cattle is more robust.
More robust, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Well, it's interesting.
Cows are just making milk.
Joe Salatin always talks, the famous farmer always talks about how, people label him as a farmer, but really what he really says is he's a grass farmer.
Grass farmer, right? Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's all about minerals in the soil. And he understands that. The dilemma is that what farmers really should be doing before they plant any seed, they should be spraying copper sulfate on the soil, 10 to 15 pounds per acre, mm-hmm. and boom, it's going to change the quality of their produce.
So we could do this in our backyard garden as well, right?
Yep. Sure.
Copper sulfate, where would one get that?
A feed and seed store.
Really? They understand that much to be able to sell that. That's pretty cool.
Sure. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So is that true that there's an 80% loss in copper in our food supply?
Well, that's what's been documented. That was McCants and Whittison did the studies from the 1930s up through the present day. And they started the studies in the 30s. I think they passed away in the 80s, but mm-hmm. it's been continued for the next 40 years after that. And it's well documented that there's a massive loss of copper.
It's amazing that you have the massive loss of copper, and then you have the iron fortification project on the other end of that. It's kind of like the opposite side of the same coin. When you have those two things going on, I mean, it's like this massive breakdown of everything we were talking about with our health, and you see the results in these cancer rates doubling and tripling and quadrupling in people, and it's amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
Makes sense, though, doesn't it?
It does make sense. And what's fascinating about this whole process of how the body responds to an innate threat is the power of the nitric oxide. And it's really responding to the fact that, wait a minute, copper doesn't seem to be doing its job right. So I'll step in and redirect things until we can get that straightened out. Again, this is going back to the beginning of oxygen on the planet. And it's hard to fathom that they really understand all that. And at some level, we just have to accept that the astrobiologists know this. But this nitric oxide, to give people a sense of why it's so important, there's a certain virus that people are concerned about right now.
Mm-hmm.
and what stops it in its tracks? Nitric oxide. And you may recall that our current occupant of the White House mm-hmm. came down with this alleged virus
mm-hmm.
and got a medication. Do you remember what the medication is?
Oh, gosh. No, I don't know. I don't remember the name.
It's called Remdesivir.
That's right. Remdesivir.
Remdesivir. Guess what it does inside the body?
increases nitric oxide?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Really?
Yep.
Now, that's doing it through a chemical process, though, right?
Yeah, I would assume so.
Uh-huh.
But I have a student in South Africa who's been following the protocol faithfully for several years and feeling great, but she mm-hmm. still had inflammation in her joints.
Mm-hmm.
She and her roommate both came down with COVID and went to the doctor, and they both got remdesivir. And the roommate, who was not doing the root cause protocol, didn't survive. But she got the remdesivir, and she said it was euphoric. She said, suddenly all my inflammation was gone.
So what is the nitric oxide doing to the big C little v then?
It's wiping out viruses. It's allowing the macrophages to do their job.
Would we want to supplement nitric oxide, you think, or is that not a good idea?
That's a great question. It's a fair question. Let's use the example of these two individuals down in South Africa.
Uh-huh.
One was doing the protocol and one wasn't. They both got the same medication. Only one survived, the one that had bioavailable copper.
That's interesting.
Now, again, anecdotal,
mm-hmm.
N of two, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the important thing is that I think the most provocative solution to this crisis is written up in a study by Dr. Perricone from 2020. It was mm-hmm. done in July of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And all they did was iron chelation. Well, what is nitric oxide's job in the body?
It's to pull that iron back into the tissues through the macrophages, right?
Exactly. So you can either get it into the tissues, get it out of the way of the uh-huh. virus so it can't replicate.
Okay.
Or pull it out of the body with a chelator. And Dr. Perricone decided to use the chelator.
So what kind of chelator was he using then? Why didn't he just do blood donation?
He used something called desferoxamine. It's a very powerful copper chelator.
You mean iron chelator?
Yeah. Iron. Did iron. I say copper? I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Iron. Okay.
Yeah. Forgive me.
Wow.
And that's a great question about the phlebotomy. What would have happened if they had done an aggressive phlebotomy? You know?
Yeah.
There's a famous iron biologist named Eugene Weinberg. He was at the University of Indiana in the 60s through 90s.
Uh-huh.
Very talented guy. Well, actually, he was probably later than that. He passed away just recently. So he might have been like 80s through early 2000s. In okay. any event, he wrote a lot of really good articles. And one of them, he said, at the first sign of an illness, go donate blood.
Really?
Because it strengthens your innate immunity.
Now, I wonder, so when you donate blood, you're not necessarily, that blood is coming from the interstitial, it's not coming from the tissues, right? So would the donation of blood have any effect on iron stored in the tissues? Or maybe eventually?
Well, yeah, eventually it will, because once you have blood loss, significant blood loss, it's going to trigger another hormone called erythropoietin. In the sporting world, it's called EPO.
Mm-hmm.
And all athletes want to have more EPO. So they have more red blood cells.
Uh-huh.
So they have more oxygen. So they have more energy. So they have more bling at the winner's circle.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm.
That's what EPO does, is it makes sure that there are two signals that it sends out. One is telling the bone marrow, hey, we need some new red blood cells.
Uh-huh.
The other signal is telling the organs, let go of the iron you're holding on to. We need it in the bone marrow.
Oh, so when you do a blood donation, it actually does that as well with this stored iron in your tissues.
Exactly.
Yeah. That is interesting. Is the bone marrow the only place where we make new red blood cells, or can that happen in other areas? Do we know?
It's the only place I know about.
Yeah, that's all I've heard as well.
They're called nurse cells. It's fascinating. The technical term for them is hematopoietic stem progenitor cells.
Oh, geez.
It's easier to say nurse cells. Yeah. And they hang out in the bone marrow. And it's a very fatty environment. Got to have fat down there. Got to have retinol down there, right?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And one of the great gifts of the work of Sally Fallon at Weston A. Price is to get people connected to the fact that retinol is the choo-choo train that the body uses to get minerals into the bone.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so I was always focused on retinol as the sort of the primary nutrient to, you know, load copper into ceruloplasm. But what did you just say?
It's a choo-choo train for the minerals.
For the minerals to go where?
Into the bone. Again, the skeletal structure is a mineral bank. It's a bone mineral bank.
It's a mineral bank.
Yeah. And it's, again, we have, what you have to understand is, go back to when we were in high school, we had a biology textbook. And you open up the page, it talks about cell biology.
Yeah.
And there's a picture of a cell. Right? And there's a nucleus. And there's an endoplasmic reticulum.
There's one mitochondria.
One mitochondria, right? Yeah. Well, it turns out the average cell has 500 mitochondria.
Right.
It's a very different world inside our bodies as opposed to the world inside those textbooks.
Yeah. Morley, this is so cool. I wish I could spend all day. Unfortunately, I'm up against the clock today with my anniversary with my wife.
I'm happy to have this time together.
I'm really excited. So one final sort of thing, I want you to sort of talk a little bit about as we wrap up. You know, if you have anemia, what should you do? And, you know, follow the root cause protocol, right? And go to your website and start following that, do you think? Or let your doctor know about that?
Well, again, it depends on what kind of relationship you have with your physician. I don't want to get in the middle of that. Uh-huh. But what I would encourage people to do is research anemia of chronic inflammation or anemia of chronic disease. The principal authors that you want to read are Gunther Weiss or his associate Manfred Nairz, N-A-I-R-Z, and they know more about this than anybody I know on the planet. They're Austrian hematologists. They're very talented people. So I just challenge your worldview with some new information. Don't go to the internet and assume that that's going to be the best and only information. I think it's very important that people understand the full breadth and depth of their mineral status, and I would encourage people to get a mineral assessment via hair and blood, get it properly interpreted by someone who's been through the root cause protocol training. That would be very, very important. And then I would really encourage people to engage in the root cause protocol. And the most important thing is to do the series of stops. Stop taking ascorbic acid, stop taking iron supplements, stop taking calcium, and all whole bunch of other nutrients that are there, and get people focused on the starts. And it's a 32-page manual that people will get when they go to that website that you just highlighted. Mm-hmm. And it will give them the stops and the starts, and recognize that most diets have a very low level of copper. And most diets have way too much iron, way too much sugar. Mm-hmm. Well, sugar and iron have a connection. Mm-hmm. And most people have a low-fat diet. And what's interesting about that is that when you have low fat, you're more likely to eat carbs, which means you're going to get more iron.
Mm-hmm.
But you also, you can't absorb copper if you have a low-fat diet. It's a fat-soluble nutrient.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't metabolize fat without copper. So as soon as they take fat out of the diet and they take copper out of the diet, then we default into this carb-heavy, iron-rich diet. And that's been the basis of the whole shift that's taken place on this planet over the last probably 75 years.
Well, Morley, like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, that I think you are, like, you know, in the top in terms of being like a luminary in this natural health field. And I think that you're at the cutting edge more so than anybody else that I know in terms of minerals and how minerals affect enzyme status, affect hormone status, and how all these things run together. And I would really recommend, if you guys are watching or listening to this, go to Morley's website. It's rcp123.org. You just scroll to the bottom, put your name and email address in, and you get the root cause protocol for free. He gives it away, and he's going to share with you some things in that protocol that are going to be diametrically opposed to what you hear in the mainstream alternative natural health field. And that is, you know, take vitamin D, take, you know, vitamin C, take silver and all these types of things. And he goes through all these lists of stops and starts. So make sure to go join up there and get his emails, because they're really, really, I think, at the core of generating ATP and being able to deal with oxidation. So Morley, that was my little plug for you, but I just think what you're doing is so great.
That.
Yeah, I think what you're doing is just amazing. And like a lot of people that are on the show, they'll talk about in general some of the things you talk about, but I can tell they don't have the depth of knowledge of understanding and citing sources and looking at the research. They'll talk in generalities, and you're one of the few people that I've ever talked to that can actually cite the resources and look at the studies and show you why these things are the way they are. So I appreciate you spending all that time at Starbucks.
No, really. It's a late in life epiphany. And I think our next chat is scheduled in January. And I think it might be fun to dig a little deeper about nitric oxide, because I think it's a very misunderstood nutrient, where it's really, like I said, it's a hormone. And I think people need to understand how and why it's so important. I think that would be a fascinating discussion.
Yeah, let's do it. And I'm glad to have you on. I think this is the session 8 that we've done, 8 shows, and wow. You know, this is great. So I know you do a lot of podcasts and you get the word out about your work, but thanks for, you know, spending time with us. And so today we're going to go out to a winery and we're going to drink some wine and have some grass-fed hamburgers.
There we go. Are you going to the restaurant where your governor happened to be celebrating his 50th birthday?
Oh, you know, we should drive up there and see if we can't, you know, meet up with him. Oh, man, that's open.
That's another show.
That's
one of the funniest things I've ever heard.
I know. That's another show. I tell you, it's crazy.
Yeah. Well, we don't have to go there because we don't want to get bumped again.
I know, right? Well, Morley, thank you so much. RCP123.org is where you spend your time, right?
Absolutely. And if people need to reach out to me, my email address is my first and last name at Gmail. And for those who really want to get connected, my cell phone is area code 847-922-8061. And I'm always happy to connect with people who really need to get the information that that's been eluding them for many, many years.
That's awesome. All right, Morley. One final question for you. This is a tough one. What are you going to do today? Are you going to have any fun? What's on the docket?
Well, this was the highlight of my day. So okay. So this happened, and I was losing a lot of magnesium when we couldn't get connected.
Me too.
The other highlight, this is going to sound like a total nut job, but I'm going to finish there are 12 chapters in my book. 10 are put to bed. Number 11 needs to be edited, and it's going to get finished today. Sweet. And then number 12 is on the docket for Saturday, tomorrow. And then that puppy is done.
Oh,
and
wow.
That's going to be something we're going to be talking about in 2021 when it gets published. So that'll
be a focus. What's the name of that going to be? What's the name?
The Root Cause of Fatigue.
Ooh, nice. Okay. That's going to be great.
Yeah, I think people are going to be genuinely it's going to turn a lot of people on their ear.
Well, we'll have to do a show about that as well, for sure.
Absolutely. I look forward to that.
All right, Morley.
Give my best to Kate, and have a wonderful celebration at your little luncheon. And hope you guys have a wonderful time, and look forward to catching up with you in the new year.
Oh, my gosh. Thanks so much. Yeah, we're going to have a little wine. We'll see if it's glyphosate-free and some hamburgers. It'll be great. So
that's great.
All right, Morley. Have a great one, my friend.
Thanks so much for the time.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, guys, there you go. Mr. Morley Robbins. And I apologize. Like I said, we were just running out of time today, and I'm supposed to be at home 5 minutes ago. so I didn't even get a chance to do our second batch of commercials. But what I will say is that we are running a sauna sale, and this is the biggest sale of the year. And the coupon code, if you're interested in getting one of these Relaxed Far and Fred saunas, which I highly recommend, is Black Friday, all capitals, B-L-A-C-K, F-R-I-D-A-Y, Black Friday 20. And the relaxed saunas are available on our store, biochargeme.com. So I just wanted to let you know about that because we get emails from people all the time asking if we're ever running deals and things like that on Black Friday for the relaxed sauna. So it's a once a year thing. It's the biggest sale of the year for the relaxed sauna. So it's going to be running for a couple days. I'll have to look at the settings on that and see how long the discount code works for. If you want to grab one, just let me know and email me and I can tell you more about it. But that is available at biochargeme.com. I would really recommend getting one of those, guys. They're just the best health tools ever. So that's still available. And make sure to go check out Morley's website, rcp123.org. And it's super important, the work that he does, guys. Really, really important. So lowering your iron in your body and increasing copper and vitamin A are going to be huge, huge, huge. And when you tack on to the back end of that, adding more magnesium in your body, which runs 42% of your metabolism, roughly 3,752 of your 9,000 enzymes require magnesium to work. Without magnesium, you can't make ATP. Your mitochondria don't function properly. So magnesium is, you got to have a magnesium protocol for how you're going to get this in your body. So super, super important, and be able to utilize it as well. So anyway, if you guys are interested in putting these pieces together, the light piece, the light water magnetism, the biohacking, the spiritual side of everything, the emotional spiritual side, which I think sits above the minerals and the light, is the first place to start is your family constellation, is your emotional spiritual connection. This invisible process is a lot of times what holds on to our current health challenges. So dealing with these things from different angles, all the way down to the physical, you know, chiropractic manipulation, vitamins and minerals, these types of things. It's a comprehensive approach to healing. And I think that we all need to focus on every one of those layers. And I would encourage you guys during this time of craziness, during this just craziness in the world going on today, focus on your health. Focus on your mineral status, your stress load, your detoxification pathways, your liver health, and really, really pour into that for yourself. So anyway, guys, I got to go. We're going to go out and enjoy ourselves. 15-year anniversary. Whoops, almost knocked over the plant. Our little 15-year anniversary, 2005, we got married. So this is a fun day. So love you guys all very much. Thank you again for your support. Check out extremehealthacademy.com if you guys want to join that. That is our academy. And make sure to join up over at Morley's website, rcp123.com. .org. Just a really great guy doing awesome, amazing work. So love you all so much. Please pass this show on with your friends. And if there's ever anything we can do for you, please let me know. I would love to help you out in any way we possibly can. So love you all. See you next week. Make sure to subscribe to our newsletter. So in case we get kicked off of YouTube or Facebook, you'll get updates to our shows. All right. Love you guys. Bye.
No material on this blog is intended to suggest that you should not seek professional medical care. Always work with qualified medical professionals, even if you educate yourself in the field of live food, nutrition, and alternative medicine. I'm not a doctor, nor am I offering readers medical advice of any kind. None of the information offered here should be interpreted as a diagnosis of any disease, nor an attempt to treat or prevent any disease or condition. While information in this blog is discussed in the context of numerous conditions, it can be dangerous to take action based on any information in this blog or to start any health program without first consulting a health professional. The content found here is for informational purposes only and is in no way intended as medical advice, as a substitute for medical counseling, or as a treatment/cure for any disease or health condition, and nor should it be continued as such. Always work with a qualified healthcare professional before making any changes to your diet, prescription drug use, lifestyle, or exercise activities. This information is provided as is, and the reader/viewer assumes all risks